Welcome to the Florida Roundup, and thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Tom Hudson is out this week. Well, the fallout is growing here in Florida and around the country around an explosive whistleblower's complaint alleging the abuse of power by President Trump. Now, the complaint, which was released Thursday morning, details Trump's efforts to allegedly pressure the Ukrainian government to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden and his family. The complaint also says Trump asked Ukraine to investigate the U.S.-based cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike. That's the company that first revealed Russian hacks of the Democratic National Committee in 2016. A majority of Democrats in the House are now in favor of impeachment. That includes moderate Democrats from here in Florida, like Central Florida Representative Stephanie Murphy. Murphy had resisted calls for impeachment until this week. Here's what she told Spectrum News.
At a time when we are trying to secure our elections from foreign interference, to have our president invite that type of interference is stunning.
Meanwhile, Republicans from the Sunshine State, like Panhandle Congressman Matt Gaetz, say calls for impeachment of the president are based on rumors and faulty evidence.
The Speaker of the House of Representatives has been functionally catfished into a politically fatal impeachment proceeding based on rumors, based on faulty evidence, and based on a bloodlust for the president politically that does not serve our nation well.
We're going to begin the hour here on the Florida Roundup now with a closer look at how the impeachment inquiry is playing here in Florida. Joining us with their thoughts, we're pleased to welcome Mike Bender. He runs the Public Opinion Research Lab at the University of North Florida. Hi, Mike.
Hi, good to be here.
Good to have you. Also joining the show, John Kennedy, who covers the Florida Capitol for Gatehouse Media. John, hello to you.
Good to be here, Melissa.
Great to have you both, gentlemen, and we want your calls wherever you are in the state of Florida. Let us know your thoughts and reactions and questions about the impeachment inquiry into President Trump. The number to join us statewide, 305-995-1800. And tweets go to @FloridaRoundup. All right, Mike Bender, let's begin with you. You're a pollster. You have not polled Floridians yet on this matter of impeachment, although you're about to. Nationally, the country is certainly almost evenly split on this question as to whether impeachment of the president is warranted over these allegations, and we'll get into the details of them in a moment. But how do you think Florida voters are going to react to this?
Well, I think nationally, as well as here in Florida, what we're going to be seeing over the coming days and weeks is a consolidation of Democratic support for impeachment. There had been some hesitancy among Democrats because leadership of the Democratic Party has been hesitant to do this. Now that the party's on board, you're going to see rank and file Democrats be much more supportive. Republicans are going to probably in the short term maintain their opposition, and those independents, what few of them are left, that's going to be fascinating to see what happens with them. Where do they move?
And certainly a Republican leadership in Tallahassee is looking at that, John Kennedy. Governor Ron DeSantis is sticking by the president. He's even sending out fundraising email blasts off of the impeachment proceedings. Senator Marco Rubio is saying that he doesn't believe the president's actions warrant impeachment. Senator Rick Scott said much the same. What are you hearing about this in the state capitol, John?
Well, it is. It's pretty much of a divide. You know, you have in the Florida congressional delegation, you have 14 Republicans and 13 Democrats. And, they're in their respective corners when it comes to their view of this impeachment proceeding, and, you know, to a certain degree, I think Florida's congressional delegation as a petri dish reflecting the nation's political divide is pretty accurate. The opinion numbers are certain to change among voters as more information comes out about the facts surrounding the Trump phone call with the Ukrainian president, but it does look like this is going to be a very long slog, and, where it all goes, kind of hard to tell right now.
It's 305-995-1800. We'll go to your calls in a moment. Let us know your reaction to the impeachment inquiry against President Trump. Let's listen quickly to Representative Val Demings, Democrat of Orlando. Demings was one of the questioners yesterday about this matter as members of Congress spoke with Acting Director of National Intelligence, Joseph McGuire.
The whistleblower report corroborates what the president released on yesterday, basically that he abused the power that comes with the office of the presidency.
Let's talk about Mike Binder. What we know, the most damning pieces of evidence so far revealed by the whistleblower complaint, it was filed with the intelligence community's inspector general, and it relates to a call the president made on July 25th to the Ukrainian president. The whistleblower alleges that the president leaned on the Ukrainian president for help in uncovering dirt on Vice President Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, and his role on the board of a Ukrainian company in exchange, it's alleged, for money that would go to Ukraine. And so let's talk about the fact that the transcript bears this out. Republicans, however, say that the whistleblower hasn't seen the transcript firsthand and didn't listen to the call. And so you pointed out a moment ago, certainly partisanship is playing a role in how people perceive this.
Absolutely. And the facts on the ground, let's be clear, this is early in the process. And it seems like every 20 minutes, something new comes out. So what we know right now at 12:15 on Friday is going to change. And it's going to be different a day, a week, a month from now. But as it stands, the whistleblower's complaint bears consistency with the transcript and summary, really a summary of a phone call. It's not a direct transcript. And there are some serious implications that Trump did pressure the Ukrainians for personal political gain to get dirt on Joe Biden and his son. What really is interesting here, and to see if it develops, is what about the other meetings? Because there are allusions to Rudy Giuliani, mentions of Barr. What happens there? What's that all about? Because if you listen, if you look at the transcript and how it's described, there's other things happening at the same time, and there's references to other meetings. That's all going to be get investigated to some extent. And what comes out of those investigations, is this just a one-off phone call, or is this a much more detailed process?
And John Kennedy, another of the revelations that has raised alarm, including among some Republicans, is that White House lawyers directed White House officials to remove the transcript of this call from the system where it's typically stored and place it on a server that's usually reserved for highly classified information, even though the transcript didn't contain sensitive information from a national security standpoint. That could theoretically also implicate employees at the White House who carried out these acts. And so, as Mike said, depending on where this goes, the circle could widen to involve more players. We just don't know yet, right?
Sure. And also, you know, it goes to the idea that there was a cover-up, that was an attempt to, bury this information and the facts surrounding this phone call. So that's another issue that's sort of compounding the problem for the Trump White House right now.
All right. Lots of calls coming into the Florida Roundup. What are your thoughts and questions as Democrats in Washington move ahead to an impeachment inquiry of President Trump? It's 305-995-1800. Bridget is on the line in Tampa. Hey, Bridget. Happy Friday to you. What are your thoughts?
Oh, my thoughts. I've been waiting a long time for this. This is like, I can't believe how he could be doing this to Joe Biden. Again, we're having corruption in voting. It's just a shame, and this president needs to go. I can't believe how he talks about people. He's racist. He's, you know, it's just, I'm from New York, and he's been so corrupt all my life. I've known him, and I just don't understand where people are going. I mean, this is crazy. All these, like, QAnon people and all this conspiracy stuff. I don't understand what people are waiting for. I really don't. It finally took Nancy Pelosi to get up and do something. Us people, us Democrats, we are all for climate change and women's rights. I mean, I have daughters, for God's sake.
Okay, Bridget, I hear you. So you're a Democrat and you are strongly in support of impeachment.
Oh, strongly support it? Oh my gosh, that's all we think about in my house. I try to teach my kids the right way, and My grandbaby's never going to see this country if we don't start doing something.
Well, Bridget, I appreciate the call. And, you know, Mike, we'll go to some Republican callers in a moment who are also waiting. But that gives you an idea of the intensity of feeling around this among Democrats in Florida.
Absolutely. And the progressive wing of the Democratic Party has been clamoring for this for months, if not years, plural, for a host of different scandals and perceived infractions that they believe are cause to remove the president from office. It took the latest one where there is very clear, concise, okay, pressuring a foreign political entity with electoral implications as what pushed the moderate wing of the Democratic Party to finally get to this point. That's the big change in the last
Moderates
week.
In Florida were really slow to come to this, including Stephanie Murphy in Orlando and John Kennedy. Also, Al Lawson of North Florida. He did not sign on to this until there was already a majority of Democrats in the House willing to move on impeachment. I think that kind of shows you that the politics among Democrats in this state are nuanced around this issue.
Yeah, and it's the Trump had a lot of support here in Florida. That's always worth thinking about.
John Kennedy.
Yeah, well, I think also for Lawson, it seemed to be something that he felt pressure then from a lot of Democrats, whether they be progressives or, as you point out, like, you know, it was moving now to where there were mainstream Democrats also calling for the impeachment. So I think Lawson was just a little bit slow on, you know, pushing the button here when it came to his reaction to whether he would support a impeachment inquiry or not. But he quickly came around when he started hearing from, you know, kind of some of his constituents across North Florida. He is definitely not in one of the swing districts that you would think he could be challenged in. However, it is a North Florida district that can be, you know, a sizable amount of conservative voters. This was he's in a little bit of an island in his district that stretches from Jacksonville to the Tallahassee area. But nonetheless, it is a largely minority district, meaning to a great extent, he has a lot of Democratic voters. But I think there's still a little bit of concern about looking like he's too far left. You know, a candidate like that always wants to sort of satisfy what is a more conservative region of the state.
Right. And we're taking the temperature of all the voters out there across Florida this Friday on the Florida Roundup. What are your reactions to the impeachment inquiry now moving ahead against the president? Blaine is on hold. He's in Inverness, Florida. Hey, Blaine, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, hey, thanks so much for taking my call. And thank you so much for all you folks do. I'm a illegal immigrant from the great country of Canada up north. And I noticed just constant Democrats, you know, trying to find fault with this president. And I find this completely out of touch with their constituents. In my opinion, I mean, they're sore losers, and it seems like they've been looking for something since the guy got into office. I think that he's, you know, we voted him in to do a job. And I think that he's doing it well. Is he perfect? Heck no. But I'm telling you, I think he's by far head and shoulders above the last three or four people that have been presidents here in this country. I find this very, very concerning. And especially when, you know, people like Adam Schiff will go in and just start putting words out there that weren't even true or weren't even part of the conversation. If the man has to have a conversation with a leader of another country, hey, I'm all for it, especially when he's calling into question why the previous vice president's son is, you know, is playing a major role there in the country. There seems to be something there. So, hey, investigate it. But why do we have to scrutinize this man's every phone call and every action? I think he's doing a bang-up job, and I really support. We love our president. And Bridget, if you're not happy here, you can head back north. That's okay, too.
All right, love Blaine. Yeah. Blaine, thanks for the call. So, okay, so Mike Bender, those two calls, one right after the other, show you how divided this country is and this state. Let's take Blaine's points one by one. He's saying he doesn't think this president is perfect, but that he thinks he's doing a good job. He doesn't see anything wrong with the call and what was said on the call to the Ukrainian president. Your thoughts about that?
I think there's two things to talk about here. One is this is a great example of where people are in this country as far as their support or opposition to President Trump and the parties. There are large segments that are on both sides, and it will take a lot to move them off of that. But there are people that are in the middle, and it's some of those independents, but oftentimes moderate Republicans who weren't necessarily big supporters of Trump last time, but went along with him because of the alternative. Where do they sit? What are they going to do long term? Where are they going to feel about this? The last caller, he's on board. It's going to take a lot to get him off of that. But the other folks is the real issue.
It's the people in the middle. We're getting callers in the moderate realm of the voting spectrum right now. Let's go to Charlie. He's in Crystal River. Charlie, what are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts, I'm a 67-year-old veteran, independent. I voted for members of both parties and lived through Watergate. I'm just wondering, where are the Republicans? Where are the Republican common sense statesmen of the Republican Party? Because back during Watergate, Nixon only resigned. He wasn't impeached. They didn't get a chance to get that far because supposedly Barry Goldwater, a bunch of those guys, statesmen in the Republican Party, showed up and told him after they heard the tapes and saw how he really behaved behind the scenes that he had to go and that they would vote to convict him if impeachment ever got to the Senate. And that's sorely lacking in today's situation. This guy's, I had problems because he's a draft dodger and he's a fake businessman. That's got no business in our government. So those are my thoughts.
All right, Charlie, thanks for that. That's Charlie, independent voter in Crystal River. John Kennedy, in the minute or so we have before the break, he referenced Watergate and how that process played out. There are some similarities and some differences with this process we're looking at right now. John Kennedy. Oh, we might have lost John Kennedy. But we're getting lots of, as we try to get him back, we're getting lots of tweets and emails and calls about the impeachment inquiry that is now proceeding against President Trump. We're hearing from all of you all over Florida. No surprise, there are so many folks waiting on hold to give their views about this. It is something that is capturing the attention of the country, and partisanship and political tribes are certainly driving perceptions of this process. What do you think about the impeachment of President Trump? It's an inquiry at this time, not a full-blown impeachment. We're going to continue discussing it here on the Florida Roundup with Mike Binder of UNF's Public Opinion Research Lab and John Kennedy. He covers the Capitol, the State House in Tallahassee, for Gatehouse Media. Where do you stand on this? Do you think impeachment is long overdue, or do you agree with some callers that it is simply another instance of Democrats harassing this president? 305-995-1800. Tweets to @FloridaRoundup. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup, and thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Tom Hudson is out this week. And as we continue taking your calls, getting your reactions to the impeachment inquiry against President Trump, the number to join us is 305-995-1800. Lots of calls and lots of opinions out there. Justin is in Middleburg. Hey, Justin. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just got in the car and finally was able to get through. I consider myself a recovering conservative. For my whole childhood, I was groomed a specific way. So I understand and I respect a lot of views from conservative and Tea Party movement, but I also consider myself a liberal. As of right now, there's not one politician that I believe or entrepreneur in the entire Democratic Party that's running that I believe is going to be Donald Trump. Donald Trump's going to get reelected. This impeachment needs to go through. What I'm concerned about is how long will it take for Mike Pence to step up with the information that he has and come forward to help the Democratic Party?
What information do you think that he has?
I don't think that it's going to be, it's more of him knowing what has been going on. I don't know if he has any of that information, but at a certain point, when will Mike Pence roll? Because if he does get impeached and he wasn't on the side of the righteous side, I guess, he's not going to get reelected in 2020. But if he comes out and says, hey, enough is enough, I don't stand by Donald Trump, I am here for the conservative party, for the Tea Party movement, because no one, not even himself, there was an article last night on NPR that basically said that Mike Pence didn't believe that he was even going to become vice president. He ran on the ticket so that he could run in 2020 to become the president of the United States, and he stuck with Donald Trump. There's not one true Christian in this United States that truly can stand by Donald Trump and say that they're a Christian because of the things that he has done and the things that he continues to say is okay.
All right, Justin. I hear you, Justin, and I appreciate that call. So, thank you for that, Justin. I want to get John Kennedy's reaction to that. You know, Justin was speculating as to whether the vice president might ever depart from President Trump. I know in Tallahassee, where you sit, you're closely watching how politicians are gauging this unfolding inquiry, which is moving fast. And, you know, it's notable to point out that a few prominent Republicans have expressed extreme alarm over these allegations that are now unfolding against the president, but only a few. So what about that? Yeah, we still don't have John Kennedy. Mike Binder, go ahead.
Well, the Republican Party in this state.
Go ahead. Go ahead, John Kennedy. Yeah, we're waiting to hear what you have to say.
All right. Oh, you do have me. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I thought we didn't. Well, the Republican Party in this state and nationally have been...
All right. I'm not sure what's going on with John, but Mike, why don't you jump in?
I think this is really the point where it's worth talking about the difference between politicians and political leaders, like the previous or two callers ago I was talking about, where the Republican statesmen. I think it's important to think these Republican politicians are beholden to their constituents. Where are the constituents on this? And as long as their base Republicans stay opposed to impeachment and supportive of Donald Trump, you're going to see very few Republicans come out. However, if Republicans start to slip and it gets closer to a 50-50 split within the Republican Party about support for Trump, that's when you're going to start to see Republican politicians start to move off of this.
Lots of calls from Floridians of all political stripes. It's 305-995-1800 to join our conversation here on the Florida Roundup. Doug is in St. Augustine right now. Hi, Doug. Go ahead.
Yes. So I am a registered Republican, but I am also a veteran, and I am a firm believer that our elected officials should be looking out for the best interest of our country first, and not their party and not their president. I feel that in this case, and this is going back for a little while now, they are not doing what is right for the country. They are doing what is right for their party. Donald Trump, I think it's naive for anyone looking at this situation to think that that Donald Trump was not trying to interfere for political gain. And that's my opinion.
Okay, thanks for that, Doug. You know, Mike Binder, I want to get your reaction to one piece of information that's come out around this whistleblower complaint. Trump's own appointees move this to a criminal referral. His handpicked acting director of national intelligence and also the Trump-appointed Inspector General for the Office of National Intelligence issued a criminal referral about the president's conduct to the Department of Justice and the FBI.
Yeah, this is not being done by Nancy Pelosi and other leftist liberal Democrats. The DNI, and if you listened and got the summaries of his testimony yesterday to the House, it was very clear that he was supportive of the whistleblower. He believed that the whistleblower went through the proper channels. This was vetted by the Inspector General. This was passed along by the DNI, first to the White House counsel, and then ultimately it did get to the Congress. And I think as we will see this unfold and proceed, it's going to be really key that we see folks on both sides of the aisle that have things to say. And ultimately, that's going to lead to either an impeachment vote in the House, or it's going to lead to potentially a vote of removal in the Senate, even if enough Republicans come on board.
We have so many tweets coming into the show. You can tweet us your thoughts about the impeachment inquiry of President Trump to @FloridaRoundup. I'm going to read just a few here. Yanni tweets, regardless of political party, an impeachment inquiry is an investigation. The American people need to know the unbiased truth, regardless of where that leads. Here's a tweet by Minerva. I'll be forever astounded by Trump apologists. He exhibits every single day that he's saddled with the mind and demeanor of a mob boss, she says. Here's another tweet. People are saying Democrats haven't stopped harassing this president. The president hasn't stopped harassing everyone, the media, and basically everyone that didn't vote for him. And one more tweet for you. I see Mike Pence as a right-wing, anti-gay, anti-environment ideologue. I despise Trump, but I think Pence might be worse. Okay, that gives you a sense of where some folks are about this, but we wanted to take the pulse of the entire state. Let's go now to Catherine in Haines City. Catherine, are you still there? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, go ahead.
Impeach. You know, he took an oath to uphold the Constitution. That's part of his job. He can't do his job. He shouldn't have it. We just spent 2 years on an investigation where Russians interfered to influence our election. Anybody who's watching it should have learned by now that you cannot get assistance from a foreign government to help your campaign. And that's clearly what he did, or that's clearly what he was attempting to do, was to get assistance. So he obviously thinks he's above the law. He can do anything he wants to as long as the Republicans continue to support him. We've got corruption is just running rampant. You know, this is all of his doing. The lies are just out of control. You know, I mean, I understand how people can believe him, but that just shows that they don't know what the actual truth is.
All right, Catherine, thanks for your call. Okay, we've got John Kennedy back now from Gatehouse Media with us from Tallahassee. John, you know, she referenced the Russia investigation, the Mueller investigation. That dragged out for a long time. It resulted in no lasting consequences to the White House. There was no proof of collusion with Russia, although it has been well established that Russia did interfere in our 2016 election. At the same time, as we're reading this whistleblower's complaint, it's referenced in the complaint that the president was trying to get Ukraine to investigate a firm called CrowdStrike. They were the ones who were involved in uncovering the hack on the Democratic National Committee servers by Russia. And so, you know, when we listened to Catherine there on the line from Haines City, she brought up Russia. We had thought that perhaps everything involving that whole saga was in the rearview mirror, but that might come up again in these impeachment proceedings in some fashion. Your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a lot of different potential avenues that this could go. And indeed, it could you know, dredge up again a lot of the questions about Russian interference with the 2016 election, even as we're heading toward 2020. You know, the interesting element, though, too, I wonder in this, is there some blowback on Democrat Joe Biden who, you know, somehow his being central to this issue, if there are voters out there that are wary and weary of, you know, the whole Washington swamp and they want Trump out of the White House, but they you know, want to replace him with something fresh. Does Biden become somebody that is also looked at as part of this whole Washington insider influence game? Biden has been the Democratic frontrunner now for a long time, and however, he does appear to be fading a bit. You wonder, does this entanglement in this case hurt his prospects going forward?
Right. How does this affect the campaign of Joe Biden, Mike Binder? And let's be clear, his son Hunter Biden sat on the board of a natural gas producer in Ukraine. That has been looked at. It has been criticized as perhaps someone with a famous name cashing in on connections. There was no evidence, though, found of wrongdoing or criminality. We need to be clear, not yet anyway. But what about John's point that, you know, we've been talking a lot about President Trump. How does this affect the campaign of Joe Biden?
That's the ultimate question here. Joe Biden, who I'll be frank, 6 months ago, I didn't think he'd be in this position. I thought he would have faded a long time ago. He has been maintaining that front runner spot. Elizabeth Warren's been making some gaps. In one way, you could see it as hurting him, as being entangled in this, and the moderate voter who says, I want to beat Trump, and this guy's the best chance to do it. But on the flip side of that, he's now being pitched head-to-head against Trump. This is an opportunity for him to stand toe-to-toe with Trump, and if he can come out on the winning side of this, that is a huge boost to his campaign. He's been fundraising on it. He's come out with some anger last week, and which has invigorated some of his supporters. So I don't know that this is necessarily all bad for Biden.
And you're listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Trey is with us from Orlando. Hi, Trey. You're on the air. Go ahead, Trey. Okay, let's try Jorge in Sarasota. Hey, Jorge, thanks for calling the Florida Roundup.
Thanks for having me. I love the show. So I just wanted to say, regardless of party, I just think that in this case, you know, if it walks like a duck, it's like that quacks like a duck, then it's a duck. And, you know, if he's allowing interference or seeking interference from a foreign power for an election, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, we should hold the highest office accountable, you know, to a standard where people are following the rules of our Constitution, you know. And I think in this case, you know, it's pretty blunt what he was doing. And I certainly believe that impeachment is the proper proceeding, you know, that should go through, and that hopefully no one in our political system, whether it's someone running for mayor in a city or president of the United States, ever seeks any type of assistance from a foreign power.
All right.
Yeah.
Jorge, thanks for that. You know, let's listen quickly to Senator Rick Scott talking about this. Florida Senator Rick Scott, former governor of Florida, when he was asked about the whistleblower complaint, here's what he had to say.
When you read the transcript, the president says things differently than I would say them. But again, what they're talking about is there a violation of the law? And I didn't see it, and no one's shown me a law that the president violated.
We received that audio from Spectrum Media. Okay, so John Kennedy of Gatehouse Media. We hear a lot of Republicans from here in Florida talking in that manner, saying, well, it's not how I would have spoken, but I don't see a violation of the law. Depending on how many more revelations come out, how much longer is that type of rhetoric, do you think, sustainable?
Well, that's a good question. We've had similar comments on the Access Hollywood tape that go back to 2016. So I think, you know, I think the Republicans are totally encaptured by Trump and are not going to stray away from standing by him in this, no matter what he does. I think there is such a fear of antagonizing that Trump base that no Republican is going to really break with the president, virtually, you know, whatever is revealed at this point.
Mike Binder, we heard that from a couple of callers just now on the show saying, look, you know, I am a really big fan of this president, and I see this as simply harassing him.
And there is absolutely a core chunk of Republican Trump voters that it will take him shooting somebody on Fifth Avenue, and even then they might think that the tape is doctored. The what you get
is, right, you're referencing his comment, yeah, right, that he said he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and it wouldn't lose him votes.
And okay. There are certain folks that are in that camp. The problem is it's not the entire Republican Party. It's not all the people that even voted for him. There are a chunk of Republicans or a chunk of Trump voters that did so reluctantly in 2016.
Including here in Florida.
Including many here in Florida. And what happens to them? You know, what happens to those folks who are looking at this and they say, you know what? I'm a citizen. I'm putting America first. And when they peel away, don't be surprised if suddenly you see a Senator Rick Scott saying, yeah, that looks like a problem to me. Or a Rubio, who has not been shy about standing up to Trump in the past, seeing him peel away as well.
And those voters in Florida can really be decisive. So it will be interesting to watch how that plays out here.
It's going to be vital in Florida. And we are a microcosm for the country. We're it.
Well, always good to get your insights. And you'll be polling on this soon. So we'll be looking for your poll.
We'll be out in a couple of weeks.
Mike Binder runs the Public Opinion Research Lab at the University of North Florida in Jacksonville. As we've been talking with him and John Kennedy of Gatehouse Media, he's with us from Tallahassee. Lots of calls and tweets have come in to us about the impeachment inquiry into President Trump's interactions with the president of Ukraine. And so thanks for everyone engaging on this. We're going to take a quick break and then shift gears because in a moment, Governor DeSantis says teachers in Florida need a raise. That's next. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for being with us. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Tom Hudson is out today. Well, could a pay raise for Florida teachers be on the horizon? Earlier this week, Governor Ron DeSantis said he plans to propose a teacher pay increase next year. He also wants to eliminate Florida's controversial Best and Brightest bonus program. All this as the state continues to suffer from a severe teacher shortage. We're going to continue our discussion now with John Kennedy of Gatehouse Media, and we want your calls. What do you think about this proposed teacher pay hike? It's 305-995-1800 and tweets to at Florida Roundup. John, what is Governor DeSantis proposing for teachers?
Well, the governor didn't provide many specifics, but he did basically say that something is coming as far as what it will be. We've heard a couple of variations with his education commissioner, Richard Corcoran, a former Florida House Speaker. He's been kind of, you know, promoting this idea that DeSantis was going to come out with. He called it a massive, and then he also called it a landmark pay increase. So Corcoran's been promoting it pretty high. DeSantis, for his part, he described it as, you know, that it won't be just a little token. So he's kind of somewhat downplaying just how big it's going to be. But it's something that it would basically set aside enough money in the state budget for counties to approve, you know, significant pay raises for teachers. Right now, there are as many as 4,000 teachers, a teacher shortage around the state. And then, of course, there's a lot of classes where teachers that are not certified in the subject they're working on are teaching those subjects. The state's average teacher salary is about $48,500, and according to a recent survey, that places Florida 48th among the states in teacher pay. So DeSantis seems to want to do something about it. Now, there's always a political calculus for everything. You think back, Governor Scott in 2013, He pushed legislators to approve, in the end, what was a $480 million pay package that allowed for $2,500 salary increases for teachers. Scott did that in 2013, a year before he was reelected. And you wonder, this time around, DeSantis going forward with this, he'll be doing this in 2020. He personally is not on the ballot, but it's clearly a big election year. And the Florida Education Association, which is the state's biggest teachers union, typically favors Democrats in campaigns for the legislature and other offices. You wonder, the idea that DeSantis would and the Republican legislature would approve a significant pay hike for teachers, does that sort of take some of the, you know, some of the fire out of the Florida Education Association when it comes to attacking Republican candidates on the campaign trail next year? So it may have that residual effect for Republicans in the state.
Sure. And DeSantis is also saying some of the money for the teacher pay increase would come from what was called the best and brightest bonus plan for teachers. That was actually the subject of a lawsuit filed by the state's teachers union. They're arguing they argued essentially, you know, bonuses aren't enough. Teachers need to be paid more. How do you see this move by DeSantis going along with other relatively centrist moves he's made since winning the governor's mansion? He campaigned as a hard right conservative, but in office, he's hewed a little more to the center in a lot of the decisions and initiatives he's proposing. How do you interpret that?
Well, he has. It's interesting. He has made the environment a significant part of his administration, and now doing something like this with teachers is a little bit of a break from what many people thought DeSantis was going to be when he was elected. You know, how centrist he is, still somewhat a subject of debate and interpretation, even as he's a major environmentalist and appointed a climate change officer for the state. He also approved a major highway construction plan to create three new toll roads that was very much opposed by the environmental community and some growth planners. So he's a little bit of a mixed bag. Right now, he is also becoming very hands-on with the Florida Republican Party, trying to bolster that in advance of the election. So he is still certainly a partisan Republican, but some of these steps, I think, seem to be something that he is acknowledging that Florida voters are perhaps not as far to the right as he has been as a elected official in the past, and he's kind of, taking the temperature of the electorate.
And you're listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. John Kennedy with Gatehouse Media is still with us as we discuss a proposed teacher pay hike that the governor wants to give Florida teachers. How would this play out across both traditional public and charter schools, voucher schools, John? You know, that's been another big bone of contention in the education space in Florida.
Yeah, it would not affect private school vouchers. To a certain degree, it sets something of a standard. If public school teachers are earning X amount of money, the private school vouchers will have to compete with that. But this will only affect public schools and charters.
Let's go to Debbie in Winter Park. Hi, Debbie. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. I was calling just to voice my support for paying teachers a professional wage, not a living wage, not a wage just to get by in, but a professional wage for the work that they do. Not only do they teach our children, they work as social workers, psychologists. They do far more than just teaching the curriculum. And my concern is that the turnover in the state of Florida is massive. Recruiting new teachers is very difficult for the school system. And I have heard Commissioner Corcoran speak recently, and he touted how the Florida teachers and our education system has really come up with reading scores, math scores, and things like that. How we still remain in the lowest pay scale for the nation. So it is needed. I do feel that the legislature often puts through many unfunded mandates for our public schools as well. So they need to improve on many levels, not just teacher pay.
Okay. Thanks for that, Debbie. John Kennedy, she's in support of teacher pay, but that the question of how it will be paid for, can you share a little bit about that?
Well, I'm assuming at this point that the legislature would set aside some level of millions of dollars that would cover it would increase the allocations to the counties, and the counties in turn then you know, could enact the pay raise for their local teachers. She does make a good point in that you know, you often hear a lot of you know, Republican constituencies complaining about that the education levels in the state of Florida are not there to meet our workforce. The Florida Chamber of Commerce, for one, you know, which is a pretty Republican-leaning organization, they have often talked about the talent gap in the state, where we are not training young people to be to meet the job needs that companies that, you know, the governor is trying to attract to the state demand. So education is sort of at the root of a lot of different elements in the state, including the economy.
Getting emails, tweets, and calls from folks. A listener in Tampa says he believes the governor is not acting out of political interest, but just being level-headed. Let's take a quick call from June in Palm Beach, Florida. Hi, June. Go ahead quickly. Okay, yeah, go ahead, June.
Yes, hi. How are you? I'm calling because I've been recruited a lot by some principals in the Palm Beach County School District to be a teacher because I volunteered as a teacher.
Almost out of time, June. Make your point quickly, please. Thank you.
All I'm saying is that if you want to stop the turnover, you're going to have to make the pay commensurate with the cost of living in the area.
Got it. Okay. And I hate to cut you off. We're just very tight on time. John Kennedy, will this proposed teacher pay raise keep pace with cost of living and be put teachers in a middle class sphere? That's certainly what they want.
Yeah, I think that may be the ultimate goal of this, but the legislature is typically it comes in a little bit short maybe when it comes to just how much they will approve. But I think they are trying to get teacher salaries up there to where you can attract people to teaching from, you know, other professions right now that are taking them away. They want to try to figure out a way to, you know, reduce these shortages and the rapid turnover of teachers that really is plaguing many counties right now.
4,000 plus teacher vacancies across the state and a lot of subject areas not being taught by certified teachers right now, correct?
Yeah, that's, you know, an alarming number. And counties are, you know, beside themselves trying to figure out just how to do it. But it ultimately comes down to pay for many families. And they have to figure out a way to make the teaching profession a little bit more attractive. And that seems to be, you know, a mantra that DeSantis is using right now when it comes to trying to sell this package to the legislature.
We'll continue to follow it as the legislature takes it up next year. And all through a very lively hour today, we really appreciate you being with us, John, and sharing your insights from the state capital of Tallahassee on the impeachment inquiry in Washington, teacher pay raises proposed for Florida. Always appreciate your participation on this show. So John Kennedy covering the Capitol for Gatehouse Media. Oh, we talked about a lot this hour, didn't we? So John, thanks so much.
We sure do. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you so much for being with us and have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
And that's our show. The Florida Roundup is produced by WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Heather Schatz and Denise Royal are producers. Jason Zabka directs WLRN's radio programming. Director of Radio Operations there is Peter Mertz, with engineering help from Doug Peterson, Charles Michaels, and Brady Corum. And theme music by Aaron Libos at AaronLibos.com. I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks so much for calling, tweeting, and listening. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next Friday at noon.